Sri Sai Ram. Loving salutations at the lotus feet of Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba, the love of our lives, the wind beneath our wings, the beat of our hearts, the rhythm of the universe, and the current that keeps it in motion, alive to the minutest atom. Beloved and beautiful Bhagwan, you are also the voice, the ears, the heart and soul of Radio Sai. We pray that you always keep us awake to your presence in and around us, above, below, within us, at all times. Sweetest Swami, you are all that matters and ever will. To your glory, with all our love and humility, we bow over and over again. Good morning and Sai Ram, dear listeners, and welcome to Morning Glory on Thursday Live. You are tuned to our Asia stream and we are coming to you live from Prashanthi Nilayam, India, the spiritual capital of the universe. My name is Karuna and I thank you for staying with us on this Thursday morning, October the 25th, 2019. The time in the ashram is exactly 40 minutes past 9 a.m. that is Indian Standard Time. Current weather conditions in Prashanthi are not as easy and breezy as I would have liked them to be. It's a bit warm during the day with bright sunshine. Daytime highs are in the mid-30s, that is in Celsius. But the good news is that the overnight lows are really cool and comfortable. Actually, you need a blanket. They are in hardly 20 degrees, 21, 22 degrees. And come November, which is just around the corner, we can expect the daytime mercury to also dip to very comfortable temperatures. All in all, life is as always peaceful and soul-nourishing in our slice of heaven. We are enjoying the routine pace of the ashram after the hectic Navratri and the Avatar Declaration Day and the 63rd anniversary celebrations of the Sri Satya Sai General Hospital. Now, before I go any further, I have an easy-peasy question for our listeners this morning, and I urge you to please email me your answers immediately at my email ID, which is karuna@radiosai.org. Let me repeat my email ID, karuna@radiosai.org, K for kite, ARUNA@radiosai.org. And now comes the question for today's Morning Glory. And might I add, there's a little bit of an extra bonus today. So think your answers through and answer. The better you answer, the more likely you're in for a pleasant surprise. So what is the question this morning? Can you identify the group that celebrated the Avatar Declaration Day this year on October 20th and has been doing so for the past 3 years? Identify the group that just celebrated in a grand way the Avatar Declaration Day on October 20th and has been doing so for the past 3 years. And this was the celebration in the Mandir, I mean. And along with your answers, please mention your full name, the city and the country of your residence. And dear listeners, please feel free to write more than one line answer. Today, the best explained answer will win a prize that you can have collected from Radio Sai office next time you are in Prashanthi. The prize, by the way, is a very nice and pleasant surprise. Karuna@radiosai.org. I'm waiting for your response to my question on today's show, which is name the group that just celebrated the Avatar Declaration Day in the Mandir on October 20th and has been doing so for the past 3 years. With that, I'm happy to play for you a brand new episode of Tryst with Divinity. This is part one of an interview with Dr. Cherevu Murthy of the United States. He's in conversation with my colleague, Brother Bishu Prushti. On the other side of this interview, I will announce the names of those with the correct answer to my question. Namely, name the group that just celebrated Avatar Declaration Day in the Mandir. And I need your responses at karuna@radiosai.org with your full name, city and country ASAP. One of the submissions, one of the best answered submissions, will be selected for a special prize today, which can be collected from our office. And of course, I will need a heads up from you before you come to Parthi. And who knows who Swami will send to announce the name of that lucky winner. So be prepared for a very pleasant surprise, dear listeners. After the names are announced and the winner is selected, I will play the conclusion of part 3 of our ongoing series with Brother Suresh Govind of Malaysia. With that, get set, go. Start answering the question for this morning and enjoy part 1 of Triswa Divinity with Dr. Cherevu Murthy of the United States. Today is part 1 and next week I will bring you part 2 right here, same place, same time. I will be waiting for your answers, dear listeners. I hope lots of you take participate and improve your overall general knowledge about the happenings in our mandir. Have a good listen and enjoy the rest of the show. And I'll be waiting right here for your emails and I'll come back and announce all the names right after this interview.
Saram, dear listeners, and welcome to Tryst with Divinity, our series of conversations with people who have been touched by the love of Bhagwan Baba. Today we have in the studios Dr. Cheru S. Murthy from the USA. The Dasara celebrations began this morning in the Purnachandra Auditorium. It is October 13, 2018, and Dr. Cheru Murthy is here to partake in the bliss of being with Bhagwan during the Dasara celebrations. In fact, he has been coming to Prashanthi Nilayam right from 1993 on a regular basis. He has had the opportunity of being a visiting faculty at the Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning in the Department of Physics and Chemistry. Bhagwan blessed him with this opportunity, given his academic credentials and given his vast experience. After he came into Bhagwan's fold in 1988, he longed to be of service to Bhagwan. He started reading about Swami's teachings, and he was someone who spent a lot of time dwelling himself into Sai literature, conducting study circles and organizing the spiritual meetings. And that is how he grew from position to position in the Satya Sai organization, eventually becoming a part of the USA National Council of Satya Sai Organizations. Until recently, he was in this council for 5 years. And something very beautiful happened in his life around 2003-2004, when in a moment of inspiration, he started this initiative of serving in the prisons. And that he has been doing for more than 15 years, close to 15 years. And the experiences that Bhagwan has gifted him through this service is something we all can learn from, be inspired by. And as a professional, he did his post-graduation in IIT Kanpur, his PhD in IIT Madras in India, and then he moved to Europe and England as a postdoctoral fellow, and eventually landed up in the US, where apart from teaching in various prestigious universities, he got the opportunity to join IBM as an advisory physicist, and that is where he has worked for more than 15 years. In fact, every step of his life after he came into Bhagwan's fold in 1988 has been guided by Swami. His job, his career, everything, as is the experience of so many devotees. And he says, it is just that in 1988, I physically came to know that Swami has been guiding my life. But even before, now I know that it was He who was pulling the strings. And so beautifully, Swami has shaped his soul so that he can brighten and lighten the souls of so many people around. Someone whose life has now become a great source of inspiration. Really grateful to Bhagwan that he has sent to the studios such a beautiful soul. A warm welcome to you, sir, to Tryst with Divinity and to the studios of Radio Sai.
Thank you, and Sai Ram.
So let's begin with that story of how Swami captured your heart. I know that you, even though you had seen Swami sometime in the 70s, but until that landmark moment in 1988, even though Swami was sending you hints, but somehow you were not looking towards the side, and something happened in 1988 and that has changed your life forever. Please narrate that incident.
Certainly. Indeed, it has changed a lot. In 1988, my family and another friend's family, we were coming back from Niagara Waterfalls. And around 8:30 p.m. in the evening, my friend said, "Oh, I feel like having an Indian meal." So we stopped by at a place called Hopewell Junction.
Hopewell.
And although I know this friend who accompanied me to Niagara Falls for nearly 4 or 5 years, we didn't know that there are such devotees.
Mm-hmm.
We came to know only once we met another friend in Hopewell Junction.
Mm-hmm.
Because in that friend's house, there were Swami's photos everywhere.
Okay.
And as a matter of fact, the moment they saw Swami's photos, these two families, that means the host and the friend who accompanied me to Niagara Falls, they were only talking about Swami.
Mm-hmm.
For nearly good 1.5 hours, talking about this, that and all. We finished the dinner because we were to return. So we were about to return. We were about to get into the car and go to New Jersey. And at that time, as we were coming down of their family room, they said, "Please come to our Baba's room, or Swami's room. Please come down." My wife gave an excuse saying that I have to go to restroom. So she didn't go join.
Mm-hmm.
And myself, my children, everyone, we saw Swami's room. And then we started walking towards the parking lot, towards the car on the driveway. Then my wife also followed us. When she was about to put her feet into her shoes, she felt someone touching her hand and saying, "Come."
Mm-hmm.
So literally, you know, she was pushed into Swami's room.
Okay.
And even in Swami's room, she was really resisting. Because mm-hmm. there was such a big picture of Swami, and there was wonderful pictures of feet, this and that, and besides all other Hindu gods.
Mm-hmm.
So she was, I believe she was really resisting it in spite of, mm-hmm. although she felt a pull.
Okay. Like someone just pulled her hand and said, "Come,
yeah, come
into the house."
Right. Mm-hmm. And she went into the Swami's room.
Mm-hmm.
In the Swami's room, mm-hmm. still she was resisting, saying, "What's all this mm-hmm. pictures, so, you know, and why, like that." So that was the really starting point.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as we got into the car,
mm-hmm.
this friend's family, they started talking about Swami all the time till mm-hmm. we reached New Jersey. That's a good 2 hours ride.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. And next morning, we were going back to Maryland, my family. The New Jersey family stayed in New Jersey. And as we were going, my wife reflected on the previous evening's experience. And then she kind of said, "Well, if he's really God, he should get you a job in IBM.
Oh, he should get a job in IBM if he's God. Wow.
So unknowingly, I just asked her, "What kind of a test is that? Somehow it doesn't sound, sounds strange." But then I believe I asked her that, "Okay, leave alone testing him, but what would you do now that you have this information, you have that experience, what would you do?" So she said, "Well, I have to reduce my weight, so I'll fast on Thursdays. I'll read the book, Man of Miracles."
Mm-hmm.
That was a turning point. That happened in 88.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps I should share how I got the job in IBM.
Oh, yeah, please.
That itself is a big, grand miracle.
Mm-hmm.
Until at the time of 1988, IBM has all my details
mm-hmm.
because I was in touch with IBM for some National Science Foundation project. I wanted some funding from IBM. So that's how they have all my details.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't make a decision either about the funding or about any job prospects.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but I lost my job in Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm.
on a Friday evening.
Mm-hmm.
Monday, over the weekend, I got calls and I was able to join the job Monday morning.
Wow. So just in a couple of days
in
it happened.
In a couple of days it happened. And that too, the way it happened was itself is supreme, super grand. Mm-hmm. Because they took into account all my experience, research experience, mm-hmm. starting from England, mm-hmm. starting from my PhD. So it was a wonderful position in terms of not only the salary, but also the position.
Wow. So it was the dream job.
it was a dream job.
Yeah, I mean. And a challenge that your wife threw at Bhagwan. And so he completely overpowering her with his grace.
What's interesting thing is not only job, but also house. We purchased a house and my family came here in 1990 and Swami blessed the nameplate of the house as Sai Nivas.
Wow.
You know, Swami touched it and then, that house is called Sai Nivas. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, Swami put me in charge of study circles. So I started coordinating study circles in the center. Unofficially, I was not the divorced coordinator, but still.
Yes. So that's how this whole process, this journey towards Swami and his teachings began. Right. I mean, it's very interesting. Your wife was resisting so much. Even though you come from a family which is religious, isn't it?
Yes, highly religious, but you know, we're all different.
And I mean, the way Bhagwan literally he's pulled your wife and you know and the entire family to his presence, I mean, to be blessed with his grace. That's really phenomenal. Taking her from the car, guys, taking her into the room, and then she's throwing up a challenge and saw me and she getting completely bowled over by his grace. Beautiful.
Right.
So from that moment onward, there was no looking back.
No, undoubtedly.
Your faith was confirmed.
It not only confirmed, it started amplifying from day to day, from year to year, from month to month.
Wow.
Even now it is still amplifying. Even now there are tests.
Mm.
But, since I experienced so many times, not only in the community, not only in the organization, in the family, his punchline, show me your availability, I will give you the ability, is 110% I experienced, even more than 110%.
Show me your availability, I will give you the ability.
Ability, right.
And you experience his proximity.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yes.
No. Once you are available for him, then he fills you with ability, but he's also filling you with so much of his presence and proximity.
Undoubtedly. I mean, once a week in the prison, when I go to prison, in the prison, I experience him one way or other, either through a sentence or through some interaction with the prison. Somehow or other, I feel his presence.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Maybe you should talk about that, you know, how this whole seva activity began. What was the inspiration behind you venturing out on such a beautiful endeavor?
Of course, obviously we'll say it is his lila, undoubtedly. But I think around 2003, Dr. Suresh Govind from Malaysia, he was our retreat speaker and he really described some of his service projects, and that's when I thought we should go beyond the usual soup kitchen.
Hmm.
So I wanted to explore the interactive service.
Hmm.
And since it is difficult to get into high schools, colleges in the education field, I thought maybe one should look into serving in the prisons.
Hmm.
And in the region, there was something like that by one single person in the past.
Okay.
But beyond that, it never expanded or anything like that. So I looked into two or three prison projects. Finally, I picked one. It's called Problem Solving and Decision Making. The official name is Thresholds.
Uh-huh.
Of course, when I started that, my intention was really to do study circles and start talking about Swami's teaching. That was my intention. But then, because of obvious reasons, I thought I should start with something which is well established, which has a website, which is well known.
I mean, a course that the government recognizes that you can take for the prisoners.
Yeah, right. I mean, I won't say government for, but at least it's experienced people have, you know, validity, validation is there, that kind of thing.
So you get easy access. I mean, if you want to do something like that, you will probably get very easy permissions to go to the prisons and do the courses.
Right. Basically, they can just look in the website and they can just kind of check what is the, you know,
content.
Right. And so I took that training. It was a weekend training. That training itself, I felt during that weekend, I felt as if I was in Puttaparthi. Because all the dedicated trainers, they were all retired educational people, a principal, high school, you know, college and all that. And the way they did the whole 1.5 day training, I felt as if I was in Puttaparthi. It was similar to what goes on in Puttaparthi for any function. So that was another thing, you know, namely, I really got into it. And then with this qualification in hand, I contacted some people. And then I started with teaching the juvenile offenders, teaching mathematics and English for them, for something called, for high school dropout, there's an exam called GRE or something like that. So I was doing that for a year or 6 months, roughly around that time. Then the coordinator at some institute, some organization called Board of Cooperative Education, BOCES, it's there in most of the states. That gentleman got interested in me and he said, oh, maybe we should try this problem solving and decision making. Since you are not able to teach the juvenile offenders about it, because those guys had, they were working for towards some qualification, towards some syllabus, we can't put into it. So he said, why not we try with the prison? So because he had contacts in the prison, he gave...
The adults.
Adults, right. County jail. It's called Dutchess County Jail. So I started doing decision making and problem solving. It's a micro session. It's one-on-one. It's actually, it's about 8 to 10 weeks. You do the lesson plan. No, the steps, there are some steps. You do the lesson plan. But towards the end, it's interesting. This is where Swami's teachings come into picture. Towards the end, for 10 to 15 minutes, you do something called art forming. It's a technique where you read a passage or you show a picture and discuss about it. During that art forming time, I used to talk about Swami's acronyms, ABC. No.
Without mentioning about Swami, but the teachings of Swami.
Just teachings of Swami. Because I don't think, I'm not supposed to talk about God or religion or anything like that, because I'm a science physicist as opposed to coming from the religious background. And since it made an impact overall in a year's time also in the prison, the in charge, the board of directors told me that I think I have a feeling that you want to start a group. You want to have a group discussion. So actually, it's, I think in my informal conversation, I must have told him that this is what I want to do eventually. So he said, this is the right time because they love you. It looks as though you are making an impact. People are signing up for this threshold. One-on-one. It's a micro session. So why don't we think of group discussion? So I made a presentation to the board of directors. And in that presentation, the reason why I'm going to details, it's very interesting how the whole thing, how Swami, it's like Swami's projects. It's like Swami's discourses. He wants us to go into higher levels. Right? In the same manner in this prison seva, that's what, if I really reflect on the whole thing, it's different levels. So, I made the presentation, the first presentation, it was just Swami's four F's, namely follow the master, face the devil, right? The 3 D's, 5 D's, merely Swami's teachings, without mentioning Swami, God, this, that kind of thing. And in fact, in the presentation, they did correct me also, saying that in a prison environment, you cannot use the phrase, face the devil. Mm-hmm. We don't want any wrong words.
Okay.
So they themselves suggested face the challenge,
okay.
Which is good. The whole thing was over. They sounded as if they were interested. But suddenly, one of the board of directors, he kind of said, I have a question, namely, I have been in this job, in this role for the past 25 to 30 years. I don't see much of a transformation or I don't see much of a change. The same guy comes back, the same guy goes out. Mm-hmm. How do you foresee that your program will help?
Mm-hmm.
It may sound a general question, but on the other hand, it's a deep question. It's a million-dollar type of question.
I know. I mean, how can you promise us that your program will really transform people? I mean, that you never know. So what did he say?
Yeah. Interestingly enough, for the first time, unknowingly, I touched Swami's ring.
Oh, the ring that Bhagwan has manifested and
right,
given
right. Okay. Although I heard several times that the ring is given to people so that in times of need and necessity, you can call on Swami. You have a direct contact. I read it, but I didn't believe it, to be honest. But at that particular instance, I touched the ring and I just looked around. I said, here in this room, all of us, including me, some go to church, some go to temple, some go to synagogue. Like that, we do different things. We don't have to answer, but just let us reflect ourselves. Have we changed?
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, I'm not that smart, I can say for sure. That thing is definitely, it came through Swami.
Wow. So you just left another question to them. Your answer was something for them to reflect upon. That even though we have been going to all these places of worship, what has that done to us?
Exactly right. Yeah.
Wow.
Then, of course, I used my head at the time. This sentence is definitely Swami's sentence. But the next one is my head, which is namely, I said, hey, gentlemen, let's give it a try.
Yes.
We try one group. And group means 10 to 15 people besides me. And there will be one counselor, one officer. The officer to make sure there is discipline. And the counselor is there to make sure I'm not telling something religious, okay, or I'm not hypnotizing them, or I'm not telling anything different. So I said, I don't want to waste 17 times 1.5 hours or 1 hour. My time is okay because I'm ready to volunteer. I'm ready. I'm available. If I'm available, I have the ability. So we try one group. Mm. If it's not good, we'll give it a try
and after that you can decide.
Right. And what is so interesting for me is the following. From my PowerPoint presentation, I had a plan. Without my knowledge, that plan got changed as by the time the first group finished. One may ask how. Obviously, because being Swami's devotee, since I have such a faith in him, I would say, Swami, it got changed because on the day of my group discussion, I used to get an email or I used to get a phone call. Something happens and then Swami takes over and he does the discussion, the study circle. It's amazing how we planned the whole thing, because I did not sit down and say, hey, let me work on this, that, like that. I didn't plan anything. Okay? I mean, of course, you may wonder, what do you mean by I didn't plan? I just had a general idea. But then, I told them on the first day of introduction that these are called study circle. We all have knowledge. Maybe I just have to say, this program is called, officially in the prison, it's called Inner Strength.
Inner strength.
Inner strength. Mm. They have a curriculum the prisoner have to follow.
Mm.
And they said, from your presentation, we feel it will come under that.
Mm-hmm.
So let's call it a supplementary inner strength discussion group.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, of course, I had another name. I call it as, when the first batch was finished,
mm-hmm.
I call it as self-awareness integration.
Okay.
SAI. Okay. SAI. SAI and ease.
Mm.
So I call it as Sai-Ease.
Sai-Ease. Okay. Inner strength, self-awareness, integration, inner strength. Sai-Ease. And Sai is the one who was running it.
Undoubtedly.
Because as you're saying, you have some plan, but then something else happens and it happens so beautifully. And you know that he's taking over.
He's taken over. Right. It's so beautiful that the first day itself, I tell them that... this study circle is not instruction but construction, not information but transformation. Study for study. This nice three concentric circles, which came from a study circle manual that I compiled sometime before with his guidance and grace. Yes. So, not only this, to make sure that it is not instruction but construction, to not information but transformation, Swami came with this idea of, it is not just a general discussion, chat and share our talk and all, not like that. There is no such thing as free lunch. We have to do something substantial. So what they are supposed to do is, after every session, when they come to the following next session, they have to write at least one sentence, or more obviously, on what touched their heart.
Mm-hmm. Their takeaway from the session.
Preferably from the discussion, because each one has that potential, everybody has that inner strength. You have to tap that inner strength, you have to bring it.
Mm-hmm.
For some people it is down deep there.
Mm-hmm.
For some people it is right there. So you can really bring it out.
Yes.
Right? Preferably from the discussions, but it doesn't matter even if it is somewhere else. You read some book, you liked it, you thought about it. And if you want to share it, obviously in the first 1 month, there will be a resistance.
Mm.
Just if there are 10 people, only one or two people will do it. But unknowingly, somehow, there is a built-in competition among themselves.
Oh.
By the time I finished roughly the 3 months topics, like awareness, acceptance, attitude, choices, like that.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, it's amazing, Swami, the way he brought all these things in levels. We'll talk about levels in a moment.
Mm.
So what they have to do is, so I compile these 3 months, whatever their reflections are. We don't put their names on anything. I type it, or the officer will type it. And on the graduation day after, for each group, we give them this book.
Wow.
Which consists of their compilation.
Mm-hmm.
As well as the front cover, which is designed by them. Because after a month or so, Swami gives me the idea of how to call this group. I call different groups. So far, I have about 16 groups. Diligent group, ideal group, excellent group, unique.
All positive vibes.
Yeah, vibes. But Swami is the one I sincerely feel, because I wait. I'm not looking for it. I'm not saying, hey, this is the meaning, this is the cast it out like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Within the first 1.5 months, somehow some name comes up. I'll suggest that they like it and we go for it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe once or twice I had to change because they said, because they really love the idea of an association together. You see, they're all like isolated individuals.
Mm.
We have to reduce that individualism and make it, like a group.
Mm. Wow.
So at the end of that, they have this book.
And this book is all about how they had tapped their inner strength.
Or discovered
how to tap their inner strength.
Right. I mean, of course, depending on the topics, attitude, choices.
Yes.
Something interesting, namely, Swami gave me an acronym, case studies.
Mm-hmm.
Generally, what we say, we define case studies as an example. But Swami said, it is a... culture-assisted spiritual evolvement.
Oh, culture-assisted spiritual evolvement.
Wow. Those are case studies. And what are those case studies are? Something called 3HV.
Yes.
Head, heart, and hand. 3HV is one thing. And similarly, there is something called self-reflection. A Japanese reflection book is called Naikan, N-A-I-K-N. That means it's self-reflection.
Mm-hmm.
It's a wonderful book. It's like that. I put Benjamin Franklin's calendar approach. So I put some tools. So using these tools, they have to do a little bit of reflection now. So it's a nice booklet.
Wow.
And they have the book and they also have a certificate. Mm-hmm. The certificate is titled as Self-Awareness Integration.
Yes.
In inner strength.
They have to now make themselves available. Then Swami will fill them with ability. Beautiful.
Right. And by his grace, roughly from 2005 to 2016, several groups of about 3 months each group. And it's mind-boggling if you really go through all these books. There are so many aha moments.
What have been your most touching moments in this more than 10 years of this initiative?
One thing is about something called, we all know, Namasmarana.
Yes.
Obviously, they are completely foreign to the word Namasmarana or the description of it or explanation of it. But the way Swami introduced that to them,
mm-hmm.
because I didn't plan, I didn't pray to him, I didn't meditate to him, saying that I want to teach Namasmarana or do something about it.
Mm-hmm.
But just suddenly in the session it came about,
mm-hmm.
which I myself didn't think. But then I followed it.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, I'm sure someone in your life touched your heart. It could be your mother, it could be your teacher, it could be your girlfriend, someone whom you respect, whom you love so much that you are willing to give up your life.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure you don't have to share with me, you don't have to tell me. I'm not going to tell, I have experienced myself. But it's a good idea to think of that person. Whenever you are in bad moods, whenever you are depressed, whenever you are angry, when you think you are losing balance, just try it out.
Mm-hmm.
I said I should follow it up rather than giving up. Even at that time, I didn't even think of the word Namasmarana.
Mm-hmm.
The Namasmarana definition came later.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So, what happens is in a group, out of 10 or 15 people roughly, there are always 3 or 4 people are really, they want to try it out. They want to really explore it. They just don't take your word for granted. And then they share. That's how, for example, once I had a discussion about eating vegetarian versus not eating vegetarian. Like that, several examples. But coming back to Namasmarana, what's interesting is one of the guys on the graduation day, he shared the following.
Mm-hmm.
See, on the graduation day, besides giving this booklet compilation as well as the certificate of erudition, each one they have to say what touched their heart overall the program, because they have to assess, do we want to give another group this chance?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's finance is involved, namely one officer and one counselor is on duty for 1.5 hours one day in a week. So they have to really assess. So on the graduation day, they assess by asking these guys. So one of the guys said the following about this friend. His turn came, and when his turn came, he said in one of the sessions, Dr. Murthy shared this. So I tried most of the times when I go to the phone booth to speak with my mom or to speak with my girlfriend, I get into trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever I get into trouble or when I'm losing, exploring myself, I keep saying Murthy, Murthy, Murthy.
Oh, I keep saying Murthy, Murthy. Oh my God. Wow.
So that's an example about Namasmarana. Right? And since I already spoke about the ring effect, board of directors meeting,
yes.
That was an accidental touching the ring.
Mm-hmm.
But later on occasions, so whenever I'm in kind of in a soup before the group,
I know.
Then I touch the ring. But maybe I should share the ring's effect on the prisoners.
Okay, sure.
Because it's a study circle and since I used a lot of hand gestures, so this ring that Swami gave, the stone faces the prisoners. And I keep saying like this with hands, so they can feel,
so,
you know.
So, as you use your hands, they continuously see the ring.
See the ring.
Yes.
So on different occasions, at least 3 to 4 prisoners told me independently and privately, that, hey man, would you mind turning that ring away from me, the stone especially?
Mm-hmm.
Put the stone towards you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, basically 180 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So I asked him why. He said, the light from the stone
mm-hmm.
is coming into my mind and it is asking me to reflect.
Oh.
And I never ever reflected, and I don't reflect as a matter of fact. So would you mind?
Oh my God. So this light is working on their mind and making them go inwards.
Right.
Wow.
So, you know, it's amazing.
Different ways Swami is working.
Yeah.
I mean, you think you are doing the sessions, but the light is coming from somewhere else and enlightening their hearts.
Undoubtedly. So there are so many things, but maybe one more thing I can share, something about the 3HV, harmony of head, heart and hand.
Yes.
By that time, already actually I explained that and I made them to do some experience, or giving them some examples, and I kind of told them what it is. But with one group, I really had a lot of trouble.
Mm-hmm.
It was partly my mistake, because somehow that day my communication ability was not that good. So I was getting a little bit frustrated. Then I touched the ring.
Mm-hmm.
When I touched the ring, suddenly I got up from my chair, you know. Then I shook hands with the person who was next to me. Just a physical shake hands.
Mm-hmm.
Then came and sat down. And they were all watching, they were all observing what's happening. I was including me, because Swami took over.
Yeah.
Right? And then, with a 1 or 2 minute interval, second time, I shook hands with the same gentleman, but this time, perhaps, I made a little bit of eye contact. Little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Then I can see that there was something going on from me to him and from him to me.
Hmm.
Okay, I sat down second time. Then third time, same thing happened. Same third time, I looked into his face intensely, into his eyes, into his face intensely, and for a longer duration. And very soon, he started crying.
Crying?
Yeah, his tears came through his eyes, and he said, "What, man? I never cried any time you are making me to cry."
Oh my God.
Then I gave that example, what is 1HV, that means hands in action only. What is 2HV, the synchronization of head and hand, that was the second shake hand. And the third one is heart, hand and head.
Wow.
Of course, this happened between two people, but the same thing can happen within you, that is the 3HV. So whenever you feel like doing something, you have to bring in the heart into the picture. You have to process through the heart, which you may call it as conscience, whatever you want to call it. But that is the whole idea.
Hmm. And this is something you didn't plan. It just happened.
Right. I didn't plan Namasmana. I didn't plan 3HV.
Hmm. But you have used this subsequently?
Subsequently, but. I didn't have to, because I didn't do it.
But I guess for that particular person that day, this methodology was something that opened up some.
It opened up
something in him.
Right. But since you asked me, have I tried that with somewhere else? I can share with you somewhere else, namely with the Institute of Satsai Education.
Mm-hmm.
I do something on human values, awareness and integration. Once I was doing this workshop. So there, with the experience that I had in the prison, I tried this and it worked there also. I shook hands with that man because, of course, he knows, I mean, I know that I'm doing with experience.
Yes.
But the person who was sitting in the car in the session, he didn't know what I was doing, but I, and when I really looked into his eye, when I made the eye contact completely, the hearts were coordinating connected, or communicating.
Connected. Wow. Eyes are the windows to the world, the windows to the heart. I mean, both.
Like that I can share
and
so
I think what really works is that love that operates through the eyes.
Right.
Wow.
I mean, I believe, I mean, because I got the reports back saying that there is something in you, there is so much love in you that they fall prey for it. Although, I mean, you know, because I still have a strong Indian accent, some things they don't understand, but they don't ask me also, but they somehow communicate.
But they just want you to continue, they love you, they want you to continue the project.
Right. So, until 2016, I was doing the group discussions and, you know, so.
Wow. And I think there are so many instances like this, isn't it, where on a particular day something suddenly happens which you have not planned and that is the right thing for that person.
Exactly. Right. And like this, what's interesting is the following. Like this, it happens every session. It's not just at random.
I
mean, these examples I gave, you could say random.
Yes.
But every session I see that something I have not planned. Suddenly it comes out and then that gets the interest. Not the main lesson, but that gets the interest.
Wow. I mean, so your dream of somehow taking Swami's message to these people who really need the most, the people, that section of society for whom the cultivation of heart is most important,
right,
to change their lives and to change the lives of people around them. And that was such a beautiful thought. And you see how Bhagwan has guided you all through his life.
Right, undoubtedly. I mean, it's amazing. Actually, what's interesting is I started this roughly around 2005. This means I meant the study circles,
yes,
the group. I was doing micro, that is problem solving, decision making. And then there was a symposium in Puttaparthi, organized by DHS Mathematics and Computer Science.
The Department of Mathematics and Computer Science.
Yeah,
the Institute of Highland.
Right. In 2006, there was a conference on societal algorithm integration or something like that. Okay. In the last minute, I made a presentation to it, which was the outcome of the first group. The reason why I'm sharing this is something interesting. My plan was one thing, but what turned out to be is totally different. And that is called a staged approach. Okay? A staged approach means something like initiate, develop, evolve, like that. So, you know, it's like a staged approach.
Yes.
And when you really see that, I believe it is something similar to something called CMMI in information technology, which is actually very nicely, the abbreviation of it is Capability Maturity Model Integration. So in that symposium, which was held in 2006, I sent in an abstract saying self-awareness integration a la CMMI. So a few slides, because this was a symposium by the DMACS, the Department of Mathematics and
Computer Science.
So they know it. So I had some slides on capability model matured integration, and then I had some slides.
That is the IT way of understanding the stages.
Stages, right.
In the IT projects.
Right, right. That's how the levels, you know.
Yes.
If you have a starting company,
yes,
you have to be certified by CMMI. The more levels you are certified, the more established you are.
Okay.
I mean, I didn't know anything about it. In fact, a professor in Carnegie Mellon University, he said, I can't believe it, I don't believe it. So then he asked me, because you are a physicist, maybe you know something about quality control, quality grid approach, which was there in 60s, 70s. I said, I never got involved with quality control or quality improvement. Okay. But see how...
And what you have evolved over is also similarly a beautiful staged approach.
Approach.
I mean, there, that is information technology. This is transformation technology.
Yeah, there, that's a wonderful transformation technology. And my presentation in Puttaparthi, after the first group was on that, the title, like I said, Self-Awareness Integration a la CMMI.
Mm-hmm.
And there, of course, I also include, because even CMI, you have both a staged one and a continuous one. There is a lot of discussion. We don't need to go into that.
Yes.
Spiritual evolvement or transformation can be continuous, can be staged, depending on the individual. So this is what's interesting. I just want to share this, namely, so at that time, I had some acronym, IDLE or DID, I forget the details now. But my interest is I wanted to come up with the acronym IDL.
Mm-hmm.
Because really, I stands for initiate.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to deal with what you are being initiated. These are all Swami's guidance to me. You know, I'm a light sleeper. I get up around 2 a.m., 3 a.m. with some thought in Swami's, in my mind through Swami. And then I follow it up.
Mm.
So I wanted to start this something called the acronym IDL. And believe me or not, I had to really think about it for 2 years in order to come up with the stage corresponding to IDL. Because as you know, out of the roughly out of the about 1500 published discourses, you see the word IDL at least 1200 times. So my goal was, my intention, my prayer, my everything was I wanted to do something from that IDLE to IDL. So it took 2 years. Swami says, obviously. So finally, at the end of the 2 years, Swami, I define as initiate, develop, emerge, abide, and lead. Not live. Everybody is living. Living is not a big deal.
Lead. Wow. Initiate, develop, emerge, abide, and lead.
Lead.
That is ideal.
And that is ideal.
Wow.
And
so you're preparing all these individuals towards this ideal.
Towards that ideal, right.
Wow.
And the way these topics and all that, without going into details, they're all put into that
progressively
form.
towards this.
Right.
So this is the staged approach of transformation technology.
Sairam, dear listeners. And welcome back to Morning Glory. We are coming to you live on this 25th October 2018. The current time in Prashanthi Nilayam is exactly 31 minutes past 10 a.m. Indian Standard Time. I want to take a moment to thank all our listeners who took the time to respond to my question this morning. I've had an amazing and overwhelmingly accurate response from so many of you, and it's very heartwarming. My question, of course, was identify the group that was involved in the celebrations of the Avatar Declaration Day on October 20th and has been celebrating this great, momentous, historic day for the past few years. And of course, the correct answer is the alumni of the Anantapur campus of the Sri Satya Institute of Higher Learning. Almost everybody's got it right, but some answers stand out more than others. And today I've offered to have a winner on the show. And I already have a celebrity sitting next to me who's going to announce the names of the winner of this morning's show. But first, the following listeners got the answers right. Malika Devarajan, she did not define where she's from. Thank you, Malika. Of course, our avid listener from Toronto, Canada, Brother Yoga Kumaran Nataraja. Correct answer, and thank you for your warm welcome, brother. Shankari Subhash from Dubai, another regular of the show. She said, "It the Avatar Declaration Day at Prashanthi Nilayam for the past 3 years is being celebrated by the Anantapur campus alumni of the Satya Sai University." Thank you, Shankari. Uma Maheshwari, here it says no location, but I think she has answered again. She's from Hyderabad. And she says the alumni, which we feel is a privilege to express our gratitude towards our mother Sai. So she's a fellow alumnus from the campus. Priyansh Patak from Jabalpur, MP, your answer was not very clear to me, sir. Dr. Visa Lakshi from Chennai says, the proud daughters of Sai, Anantapur alumni, the blessed chosen souls of the almighty divine Siva Sakti, of course. You're right, Dr. Visa Lakshi. Congratulations to you. Brother Ravi Ranganathan from Singapore has a very interesting answer. I just want to read it aloud to you. As I open the email, He wrote that it is none other than the beloved alumni of Anantapur, fondly called Daughters of Sai, who while being professionally engaged in different parts of the world, continue to maintain their link with the university and are contributing substantially to society. They bear the torch of Swami and participate in various service activities in the field of integral education, medicine, village upliftment, grama seva and other areas. These Anantapur alumni sisters professionally work as academicians, doctors, nurses, paramedical professionals, engineers, scientists, lawyers, chartered accountants, businessmen, management professionals, administrators, that is in the Indian Administrative Service, as artists, musicians, dancers, agriculturists, consultants, airline pilots, state and central government employees, personnel in the armed forces and in the merchant navy. Importantly, they are also grandmothers, mothers, wife, sister, sister-in-law, mother-in-law to various other relatives in this world. I'm lucky to have an Anantapur alumna as my sister-in-law. And we all have Karuna sister as another sister of the Sai family. Swami, thank you for the same. This comes from Brother Ravi Ranganathan. Wonderful answer, Brother. Thank you for your email. Also with the correct answer is Brother Tarun Kanti Ghosh from Kolkata, India. And I like his comment. He says, Sairam Karuna, you're going best on your way to Swami. Brother, please elaborate on a private conversation with me because I really want to go good on the way to Swami because all of us are headed in the same direction. It's only a matter of time. We better take the best route possible. Jyoti Uchil, fellow alumnus from Mumbai, she has the right answer. Also, Sanjog Keva Limbu from Hong Kong. Right answer is the Anantapur alumni. Rekha Lokna, thank you for your warm wishes. She writes from Mysore, Karnataka, and she has the right answer. And Prakash Chitranjan, that's an answer I would very much like to read. Just give me a moment, please. Brother Prakash Chitranjan wrote, Sairam, the name of the group is Daughters of Sai, the alumni of Anantapur campus of the Sri Satyasai Institute of Higher Learning. My understanding is that is some specific detail which I really appreciate. He said the batch of 1981 to 85 group participated in the 2008 Avatar Declaration Day. Coincidentally, now we know why he knows all this. He says, coincidentally, my wife was part of this group and they all offered Ashtotram and beautiful music program. They all had a great reconnect with Swami Sai on a one-to-one basis and we are all in bliss. Regards, Prakash Chitranjan. Thank you, Brother Prakash. That's an amazing answer. And what is even more amazing is you're celebrating the happiness, joy and success of your spouse, which I think is very noble and very empowering to have such brothers around in our society. Wonderful. And then we have an answer from Brother Mohan Janardhanam Pula from Chennai, Tamil Nadu. Absolutely correct answer. He even sent the YouTube link and a picture of the celebration. Nicely done, Brother Mohan Janardhan Pula from Chennai, Tamil Nadu. And correct answer from Lakshmi Rani Kancharla, but no location. Also from PV Uma Maheshwari. I think that's the person whose I read perhaps before. She said she feels privileged to express her gratitude towards our Mother Sai. She's from Hyderabad in Telangana state. Babita Mehtani from Hong Kong, correct answer. And thank you, Babita, for your kind wishes. Geeta Rani Gurung says, is ATP children actually the alumni? It is Geeta Rani Gurung. It is the ex-students of the Anantapur campus. Lakshmi Padmavati from Vishakhapatnam is an Anantapur alumnus of the 2009-2010 batch. Although she could not attend, she felt very happy to watch the entire program. And your answer is right. Brother Pratap Makodia from Bhavnagar, Gujarat. Correct answer, brother. Naveen Kumar, who gave full details of the program. Very impressive, but your location was missing. I do not know from where you were writing. Sri ISR Murthy from Bangalore. He said the devotees from Tirupur, brother, off by one day. Tirupur was on 21st. So it's all right. I can understand the confusion because we have such a busy schedule in the Mandir. On 20th, it was the alumni of the Anantapur campus. On 21st was the General Hospital celebrating their 63rd anniversary, the Sri Satyasai General Hospital, and also the devotees from Tirupur. Prasanna Sai has the right answer, but no location. Sunita Vaidya from Hyderabad. Correct answer. Thank you, Sunita. Also an Anantapur alumnus. And from London, United Kingdom, Jayashree Amarnath had the correct answer. Thank you everybody for participating. And now is my reveal moment. I will introduce you to the celebrity colleague of mine who's sitting right here next to me. His name is none other than it is Brother Prem Anosh, who is your much loved host. And I'm going to have Prem explain to us who gets today's prize and why. Prem, the mic is yours.
I don't know if the joke is on me or it's on the listeners who were expecting somebody and I've landed up here. Yeah, I think two responses Didi has picked out, and they are one from Ravi Ranganathan, Singapore, one of our regular listeners. And the other one was, of course, the interesting answer by Prakash Chitranjan, who also happens to be a visiting faculty in our university. We all know him very well, a very regular listener too. So these are the two answers which stand out today and we want to call out their names.
So congratulations go out to Brother Prakash Chitranjan and to Brother Ravi Ranganathan. And since I originally had only one prize, both of you have to come to the studio and fight it out. Meanwhile, if you let me know when you're coming, I'll try to split it in two. But your answers are amazing and we would love for you to come and visit us in the studio and take Swami's blessings and whatever prasadam we have for you. Thank you everybody for participating and thank you very much, Prem.
Sairam Didi, thank you.
You're welcome, Sairam. You know, he had to make a long way from his desk to here. He just got in like 10 seconds before he had to go on air. Traffic between the studio and his desk, which is like 20 feet apart. Thank you, Prem. Always nice to have you on my show. And with that, I am happy to play for you, dear listeners, part 3 of our ongoing series of conversation with Brother Suresh Govind of Malaysia. And this is the conclusion of this conversation. Now, I'm sure you enjoyed the interview that Bishu conducted with Sri Cheruvu Murthy of United States. Today you heard part 1. I look forward to your feedback to that interview as well as to Sri Suresh Govind's conversation that is going to come on shortly. And to any other offering from Radio Sai. As always, you can reach us at listener@radiosai.org. Till I catch up with you next week, thank you for your company. Have a saisome awesome day ahead and enjoy the rest of the show. Jai Sai Ram.
In fact, I many times feel that it is not fantastic or remarkable to have a vision of God.
Yeah.
You know, you might do your tapas and, you know, for 10 years maybe, and, you know, I want to see a vision of Saraswati, vision of Ganesha.
Yeah.
You know, I feel it is not remarkable to have a vision of God.
Yeah.
What is truly remarkable is when people can envision God through you.
That's it. Oh, powerful. You have said it. That's it.
I feel that is not Swami wants.
Yeah, yeah,
Swami doesn't want, you know, you sit and you meditate and have a vision.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, he will be more happy if every moment people, when they see you, they envision him.
Yeah.
They envision their Krishna in you. They envision their Ganesha in you.
Yeah.
My God, this person, the way he speaks,
yeah,
the way he does things.
You see, this whole thing is when somebody sits in front of you and he's agitated. He's got a lot of action, a lot of desires, he can't concentrate. He's got a lot of problems. Okay. So when you sit in front of him, there are three persons there. The body that contains the mind. The mind is highly restless. And behind that mind is that silent sitting Atma, jailed. What's my job? My job is I have to awaken your Atma. Because if I awaken that Atma, the Atma can quieten down the mind.
Yes.
So, if I am pure, if I am sincere, and this is the technology, if I am pure and sincere and I am really made, I must now connect to your Atma and awaken that Atma so that Atma quietens the mind. And then after the whole session is over, all the discussion, my God, I feel so happy, you know, I feel so good. Why are you so good? Because we managed to quieten the mind.
Right.
When the mind is quietened, you yourself will start to realize many things. So if you realize many things, I am seeing divinity in you.
Yes.
And I'm making you big. That's what Baba did to us. I'm God, you're God. I know I'm God. My job is to make you. So the same thing is with everyone else. I'm God, I'm divine, I'm happy. I want to make you happy as just how happy I am. If we have that approach, you find everything can be easily sorted out.
Yes.
A lot of things are not complicated. It's just that our mind is so warped up and so therefore everything we touch becomes complicated.
Yeah.
And we become very bureaucracy, very bureaucratical, hierarchical. Oh, I am this, I am the, I tell you, the complications that we create is because it's all in the mind. But if we just live simply, it's okay. Yes. It doesn't matter. It's okay. I think things will happen.
A spider creates a little web and happily rests on it. We create a worldwide web and we get caught in it.
This is maybe Swami saying internet. This is the inner. We get caught in this net, you know, and we get lost in that particular net. And a lot of time is spent trying to come out of the net. And today depression, mental illnesses is all because of this. They do not know how to relate to things. And the generation that is coming out now are thinking only in saccato. That means they can't expand. you cannot find them thinking beyond.
Yes.
So I think this is what we have come to teach, and we have come to inspire the world.
Yes.
Satisai life is an inspirational life. Swami is so inspirational. And he has left behind a legacy. I think his greatest legacy, of course, hospital and everything else, what people have spoke, his legacy is that inspiration.
Yes.
And if we can tap onto that inspiration, we will become a legacy to inspire other people.
Yes.
Inspiration is a great legacy. And we got something to live for. Be happy.
Absolutely.
You know, there are people like I have seen. They keep on saying, yeah, like, with very sorrowful face, yes, cannot be happy, not contented. See, what's wrong with you? Why are you so honey? No, I don't know. I mean, you know, I really... You don't even know why you are sad.
Yeah.
You are programmed to feel sad, and when you feel happy a little bit, you feel strange. You know.
You feel strange. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if there is no sorrow, then suddenly you will think, you know, 5 years ago when my daughter wrote the exam, why did she get B? Suddenly that becomes an issue, which was not an issue for many years.
And now today she is not here. She is already gone with the husband. I am alone. When you had her, what did you do? See, the whole thing is you have to learn how to be in the present, because only in the present can you connect to omnipresent.
Yes.
So the whole point is that in the present joy, present moment, be thrilled. The whole thousands of molecules must be enthused to feel oneness with God. That oneness we have to experience.
Then you tap the, I mean, once you feel that oneness, you tap the infinite reservoir of energy and inspiration.
That's it. Because we are on a journey, you know, we have to reach, our goal is, why should you come back again? You see, that's the point.
Yeah.
There's no need. We just finish everything that we have to finish. Less luggage, easy travel. So the whole idea is not to cultivate desires, love everybody, don't have anything in the heart, care for everyone, and just quietly go.
Okay, but before we wind up, and I know there are a lot more interesting episodes also about your story with Swami. So when did the ring happen, and how did that happen?
Oh yeah, so this is very interesting. So Swami in the veranda when I was passing by, because he was so happy with the drama.
Okay.
So he came.
Which year was this?
This is in 1997.
Okay.
So he came to me and said, "Oh, drama nice." He made a lot of puns and jokes with regarding to the drama.
Mm.
Then I was sitting there in the veranda. He came there. He asked me, "What do you want?" So I said, "Swami, what do you want? Tell what you want." He said, "Nothing, Swami. Only you." No. What do you want? Who do you pray? You, Swami. No. At home. What do you pray at home? I said, "Kuladevam." He asked. He said, "Kuladevam." So I said, "Ganapati." Ganapati. Then he materialized a huge, big Shiva ring. Lord Shiva. You know, brother, I tell you, that ring which Swami materialized, a big one, was seen by all the devotees. Everybody saw that very clearly. Happening, you know. So he did it in front of everyone. That it was a big Shiva with a snake like that, with a Lord Shiva meditating. It's a meditating Shiva. Then he took Padanamskaram, and then he went away. After he went away, when the Sevadas went, everybody
they wanted to see
rushed into my I got scared. Everyone, they're kissing, and so I'm now inching my way to my room. All throughout, you know, my hand is one way, and I'm inching. Can you imagine?
I know.
Everybody, then only I thought, my God, this is what Swami created, and they have so much of love for. Then can you imagine if the Sevadals were not here, what would they have done to Swami, you know? So much of love that people had, you know. So I was very... So that was first thing. But after some time, the ring got chipped off. So 6 months later, when I came back, Swami passed on the stage. "Ah, I know you. I gave you a ring," Swami said. "I know, Swami, that a ring got chipped off." Then Swami looked. "Doesn't matter. The head is still there. It's okay." He said. Then that year, that 1998 is when he called me and my wife again for another interview with my brother. So I went inside. Then Swami said, "Give me that ring." Then he ring and he blew it and turned it into a Rama ring. Sri Rama ring. So after that, 1 year later, 2 years later, when I came back, Swami took the Rama ring also and give me the ring. And I said, "Swami, you know, give me the ring, Swami." So because somebody told me, someone told me that when you are this Swami, sometimes take the ring, blows and disappears. That was told to me 2 days ago by somebody. So the thought was in my mind. So Swami said, "Give me the ring." So I changed. "Swami, I want to ask something about meditation." "Hey, Rowdy, give me the ring." "Rowdy, give me the ring," he said. So Swami not coming out. No, it will come out. You pull. pull. So I pulled it. Yes. And he gave it to a few people in the room. He doesn't like Rama. He doesn't like Shiva. I said, no, Swami, Rama, I love Rama. I love Shiva and all that. So he blew, and he was playing the whole thing. And then finally he took it and said, never mind. He blew it and changed into this diamond ring. So this was a very funny episode which happened. And he was got his own way. So it was very, so though it was, I mean, there were a lot of intimate moments which we had. But in every one, there was a very sharp lesson, very, very deep lesson, very powerful. Even simple things, I'll tell you. When Swami, we were all there, and Swami looked at me and gave me a shawl because the play was very nice and he was very happy. He gave me a shawl. I immediately went to Swami, you know, there are a lot of other youth who didn't get Swami. How many? He asked me. I said 18. So he went inside and he told somebody they brought 18 shawl. He called me and he put all the shawls on my hand. On my hand and my hand. And then Swami was giving it one by one.
So you were helping Swami distribute. So shawls were on your hand and Swami was taking from your hand and distributing.
And he was distributing. Then Swami said, where is your shawl? So I said, Swami, my shawl is here. My, hit me four times. He hit me four because just before this, that shawl wasn't mine. But just after that, the shawl became mine. So then my became there. So he was laughing and hitting me, but he still remembers, nothing in your life should be mine. You know, it's a very, very simple story, very simple.
Even at that moment, perhaps you should have told Swami, this is yours. This is yours.
Yeah. Where is your shawl? See, my shawl. My hit me. So what is the lesson? The lesson is, very fast we can get attached to things. Very fast we can get attached. We must be very careful in this particular. The Maya is very strong. Yes. So in that simple incidence of just that one incident he pointed out, a few seconds before the shawl wasn't yours, a few seconds later the shawl became yours, you know. And you must be careful of this because this is where we can slip and fall.
Absolutely.
And a lot of people who are too busy, committed to many things, is because the my became too strong. I became too strong.
Yeah.
So you too, any devotee who's listening to this and suddenly said, I have no time, I got, because your my became too strong. That's it, full stop. You can be very busy, no agree, but your my became too large or I became too big. You cannot see the reality.
Yes.
So your work became too much.
Yeah.
Whatever said and done, anyone have got time, I'm sure in a week you can spare some time.
Yes.
Unless you get committed, you cannot redeem. You are not born to be working in an office. You're not born for any other purpose. Your purpose in life is to redeem your soul. Full stop, period. But because you have a soul, you're incidentally connected to many other things.
Yes.
But you're getting lost in Maya. Baba said in one discourse, monsoon showers. Swami said, in a house when you come, the Alsatian dog will start barking and biting at you.
Yeah.
But if you call the owner, the owner comes down, and you follow the owner, you'll find the dog stays away.
Yeah.
The owner is God. You be with God, the Alsatian dog, which represents the Maya, will not come and bite.
Yes.
So the whole point is, why the Maya is coming is that we are not getting associated with God.
Yes.
Proximity to God is your greatest wealth. And this is what we should be close to God.
Yes. Amazing. And I'm sure doing all these plays and staging in front of Swami, 12 of them, as you mentioned, every play would have its own moments.
Oh, yo.
Wonderful moments of learning.
Every play, everything. Swami's love, my uncertainty, because everything certain never goes right. So first two was very stressful. Then I learned the game. That is why nowadays when anything happens, because we know that he has a plan. Right. So we just decide to be in his plan. But the first two, which we didn't know the programming, so it was very stressful. This day, that day won't come, the rehearsal dates won't come, everything will clash. So now it became, after the two, then the remaining 10 was not stressful at all. Because
you started enjoying it now.
Enjoying it. Because we love to see, okay, what is his plan? Okay, how is it that you are planning to do?
Yeah.
You know, once Swami came, and at 4:30, I was at the backstage, that was Purnachandra Hall. Swami came to me and said, start the play. Swami, the play is only starting at 6:30. And he looked, this is 4:30 now. You expect people to wait for 2 hours? He asked me, you expect people to wait for 2 hours? I said, no, Swami, but everybody is doing makeup now. And they all call all of them. How, Swami? I don't even know where they are. And then Swami was pacing up and down. What will I do? What will people do? He's pacing up and down. He's pacing very seriously in his concern. How many are there? Then how many? So I gave the numbers of how many males and how many females. You start the drama. Swami, it is... okay, Swami, I'll start. Then I went to... then they also told me how to start, brother. Everybody is in different room. All are doing makeup because this was supposed to be 2:30. So I went, Swami, very difficult. Then how long will they wait? For 2 hours, how long will they wait? So, okay, then he pays up, then he looked at me and said, okay, doesn't matter, I will go and speak.
Oh.
And I saw on table, he was already prepared to speak, but he did this little drama behind the drama, and he went and spoke for 2 hours, and exactly that time he came out. So, I mean, this little occasions where, you know, it puts you on toes and a lot of...
But I think every time he's asking us to be ready all the time.
Every time.
He's asking us to be ready all the time. But he's always there to step in.
Yeah.
He's always there to step in.
Yeah.
I mean, he's that huge power who's always there to step in.
Yeah.
But I think he wants that we should always be ready.
Yeah. But I think the ultimate thing is, I realize in Swami's thing is, you should not interpret it according to what you want to read.
Yeah.
This is how you tailor down and
diluted.
So this is what he wants and this is what you should do. Yeah. And that's it. Finish. Yeah. And just follow it to the core. Mm. But if you want to tailor make it according to what you want and then interpret it accordingly, then we will live in our own jails with the photograph of Swami thinking that you're a devotee. See?
Yeah.
That's what's happening now.
Yeah.
The idea is finally we have to liberate. The whole purpose of the organization is to confer a higher state of consciousness and to liberate us. Mm. So for that, we have to have people, we have to have interaction. See, whilst we do all these programs, then I'm very clear. We don't get carried away by the success. We have actually, to be honest, for an NGO, we are relatively very successful. Mm. But we are not too carried away by that. We have the humility to know that everything is God's grace. At a pull, He can take everything away.
Yeah.
So we train our youth and our people to always believe that this is not your doing. This is His doing. You are just an instrument. Don't get carried away. Though we get government grants, we get government recognition. In fact, today, government has recognized our efforts greatly. But all this is also...
The convocation ceremony, I was fortunate to witness, which was done in such an organized, elaborate and fantastic manner.
Yeah.
It was something like how it happens at Prashantinilam. Yeah. You had the anthem, you had the procession and the oath-taking ceremony and everything.
Yeah.
And what I learned also that the government recognizes these certificates. Yeah, yeah, I mean, that is something fantastic.
Yeah. Because the certificate, when you have these certificates, the student, it adds on to your merits. So it's good for the student to actually have it. So in the same way, that is...
How did this evolve?
Okay, we started this in 2004. We had a Satisai Academy for Human Values. Those days, they used to wear sash. Mm-hmm. And then the sash got evolved and into a gown. And we used to give awards to people of outstanding nature who demonstrates the values that Swami speaks about. So we have given it to very distinguished personalities. Every year we used to have this convocation. And now we coincide this with these conventions. And this has been going on for these so many years. And we have got now Satisai Academy under Dr. Nakiran, who heads this body. And they do it very, very well. The teachers and the whole group of fraternity does it so well. There's also Dr. Meena, who's so passionate about these things. So their dedication and commitment is very unparalleled, so to speak. So they spend hours and hours planning to the everything to the detail. Even we have a Vaiva, you know, the students go through a Vaiva process. Mm-hmm. Vaiva means we get members from other religious groups to sit on the board, Muslim, Christian, Hindu, and they ask questions to the students. Mm-hmm. It's only when the distinction students all come from such a.
And so they have passed through how many years of EHV? Because these convocation certificates of merit are given to EHV students.
EHV students who finish group 1, group 2, group 3, and then finish group 4, and then they get it. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they've gone through 7 years? At least 7 years.
7 years. Yeah, yeah.
7 years.
Yeah, yeah.
And everyone doesn't get it. Only the ones who are selected.
The ones who show consistency in the class also.
Okay.
There must be a certain percentage. I think it's 80% or so. Then you must achieve that. Mm. Over and above that, there's a Viva board. Over and above. So like that, then only you get. So there are some stringent measures to get it.
Yes. Yeah. I think that is something fantastic.
Yeah.
I mean, and it happens in a very, very sort of professional
manner. Yeah. We're hoping that it'll become more and more students because we think that the education that we teach, just like biology, chemistry, BSc students, why don't graduate?
Yes, this stuff is taken as seriously.
As seriously. Because if you take it and if you show that kind of reverence to that ceremony, people who are graduating will also get that.
Wonderful. Yeah. Wow. I know we can go on. it's been nearly 2 hours and... there is so much more to share, but I think you can take each program of the Satisai Organization of Malaysia, especially all these community outreach programs, and keep talking about it, because I think every individual who has participated in it, who has contributed, as well as who has been benefited, has a story to say. See, and they are all very, very powerful human interests.
And we'll be very happy to share whatever that we have got, the modules especially, with anyone. If they can email us, my email is saisureshgovind@gmail.com. saisureshgovind@gmail.com, and just contact us, and I think we'll be very happy.
I think that would be, it would be nice, because a lot of homework that is already done here, you know, and these are problems which are sort of universal.
Yeah, you don't need to reinvent the wheel, is it?
And if only the other very beautiful thing about all these programs is, you know, you don't need huge resources.
Simple.
All these things, they just need your time. You need time and passion.
That's it.
Don't have to have huge financial resources or any resource. You just need to have passion, passion that can be converted to devotion.
It's just that the devotees in a normal center, if you sit down with a group, what is it that we are doing? That's all you need to ask. What is it so amazing? What is the transformation that we are doing? And the conscience must prick us. If you're just doing something that is just everybody else can do, like, you know, those activities. So, is this enough? Or can we do something more? If the people down there, you see, in New Zealand, for example, suicide rates are very high. In South Africa, HIV infection is very high. All these problems are a result of lack of control of senses, discipline, consciousness. So, what else is there? Therefore, can we become friends to people who are having these issues? And can we help them to transcend, transform? I think as long as we become concerned about social issues and become a positive player, especially spiritual people should become a positive player.
Absolutely.
That's the biggest problem. Because today we have, every society and community have issues. And they're big issues. And divorce rates are getting to become so high. Single mothers are becoming high. Drugs are becoming high. So all these are symptoms. So we cannot say...
Anytime you just close your eyes. You know, you just want to go to your puja room and sit there.
Sit there. So you cannot... See, the point is, if you cannot hear... What is spirituality if you cannot hear the cry of another? Unless the cry of another harasses you, you will not feel agitated.
What if someone tells you, Mr. Suresh Govind, I don't know, you are all the time so much focused on the negative. Why do you see only the negative in the world?
The only thing is just this. Like every Swamiji who went up in the Himalayan mountains, why didn't they stay there realize? Supposing realize, they come back to ground, create organizations, and address the social ills also. They are transforming people. Why did they do that? Because when you are spiritual, and when you are this, you will look at the problems and give them the solution. Okay, let me put it this way. Swami saw the arsenic poisoning taking place in his all these villages. Isn't that looking at negativity? No, that is a problem. The problem is now staring. You have to now respond. Chennai, the water project started because Swami saw that girl, baby girl drinking the water. It's a negative thing. Why dirty water? It's negative. But he didn't focus on the negative. That negative, that of you, he's creating a positive. In the Hillview Stadium, why is rich people all can go overseas and get operation? What about the pure poor people? What will they do? And therefore, next year I will launch the super specialist hospital. In that 2001, he hit the table and said, today, in the papers, mother and child has died of starvation. He said they died of starvation. Have the Bharatiyan people become so selfish, that self-centered, that they cannot see this? Therefore, I shall now launch the village improvement program. He did that. Anything negative, it was a positive. That is what spiritual people do. Spiritual people must provide solutions to the problem. If you stay insulated in your own positivity, then please explain, how is it that all the great masters came down and addressed social issues? Because social issues is a reflection that we have not done enough.
If you are spiritual, then you have true culture, and culture is concern for others.
That's it.
Otherwise, you are not spiritual. If you can't feel for the other, then you are not spiritual.
Which is what chapter 1 Arjuna was trying to do.
Yes.
He was trying to run away from society and community and his obligation, and he wanted to go and meditate. Keshava, he kept on saying Keshava. Keshava, because long hair. Hey, where did you get your long hair? From your meditation, from your long hair, isn't it? So let me be like that. Let me go. One chapter, he allowed him to talk that nonsense. 17 chapters, he eating out of shape, and brought the Gita to show that you have to address the society's ills, address the social ills. That is Bhagavad Gita. That is Gita.
In fact, I feel the greatest example of this is Lord Hanuman. we earlier talked about Vibhishana and Hanuman.
Yeah.
And the difference that Swami has narrated in his discourse is about, you know, when Vibhishana asks, why is it that you are so close to Rama? Hanuman says, you know, you are chanting Rama, Rama, no, you are not doing anything.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because here Hanuman is not just chanting. He's all the time utilizing his whatever talent God has given to see what I can do for Rama.
Yeah.
And that was the inspiration why Vibhishana came to Rama. He left the Adharma and Ravana and came to Rama. So today, if you see, I feel Swami, by keeping Hanuman right at the top in Hillview Stadium,
he's showing an example
that
a devotee should be. You see, you can sit at the feet of Rama and say, Rama, Rama, Rama. Mm-hmm. Or I say, Sri Rama, what's your problem? Mm-hmm. Sita, okay, don't worry, I'll go.
Yeah.
And he rushed there.
Yes.
So, are we doing that? Are we jumping across and rescuing the lost Sitas and bringing them back?
Yes.
And look, this is what is called devotion. He went there, he just said, go and give the ring and come back.
Yes.
That's all he said. But he went there, he inquired how big
he
the place was.
He found out everything.
So many things and came back because he knows the master will go.
It's
proactive thinking is devotion.
Yes.
Proactive thinking is about planning.
Planning.
It is not about looking back, waiting for instructions.
Yes.
What is this? When you wait for instructions, then you're a robot. But when you you proactively move, you're moved by inspiration.
Yes.
Sai devotees must be inspirational.
Yes.
You must now look out and see, what is it that I can do? How can I make a difference in the world outside?
Yes, and I think let us always keep in mind that whatever we do, at the end of the day, Swami should look at it and Swami should say, wow, I'm so proud of you.
That's it.
I think just saying that I love you and I love you it's of no much consequence if you all the time say, yeah, I love Swami, you know, Swami loves me and all that.
Yeah.
But I think we have to move to a stage where Swami says that, yes, I am proud of you.
Yeah. And I just want to say one more thing. We have done many things, but I'm very, very conscious. I'm very, very conscious that nothing that we have done is by us. Because I cannot even conceive that this so many good things that has happened is a result. It is just that you have just been there at the right time, at the right place to say the right things and move a few things. And
because
so when I feel...
just done it through you.
Yeah, that's it. So you feel when credit is being given, I feel very ashamed because I feel I didn't do nothing that... You know, when especially when a drama is done and the drama is so good and people come... I feel very shy because I know that it was not there. I was not there.
Yes.
Somebody else took this whole thing and did it, and I am getting the credit for it. So you feel very shy. Yes, I was there. You feel like that and finish it, you know, because he is the one, the doer, and he showed me that this example. Oh, I must narrate this. This is the classic example every devotee must know, and this is what he did. The last play that we staged in Swami's place, the last play for Chinese New Year, 2010. In that particular presentation, Chinese New Year play, everything was done. In my, 5 o'clock, Swami is coming out. 3 o'clock, we are getting everything ready, the stage. So we rehearsed it many times. Everything is okay. We tested sound, all okay. So I told the sound people to go to that uncle's place and test the system.
Yeah.
So he went there, put the system, and said, "How, brother? Everything good, brother? Don't worry, everything is stopped. Okay." So I was taking my bath. I was getting ready. Inside my heart, check the sound. It's getting louder in my heart. I can feel it.
Mm-hmm.
Check the sound. I say, what? So I called him. Have you checked the sound properly? Everything, brother, I've checked ready. Everything's okay. Nothing to worry. Okay. And for 11 productions where we have done, I've never gone to the sound room. I just asked the sound people to go because they are very good at that. Now, normally I'll go to the backstage. So now I'm going to the backstage. This thing, check the sound. It's coming louder and louder. So I went there and the uncle was there. You know. So I said, uncle, I need to check. Sir, everything's okay, sir. Don't worry. Have faith in Baba. He told me that. So I have faith in Swami. I said, okay, uncle, but just can we just check? Your boy checked it. I know, but let me check one more time. So we put the sound and I put it. I saw the soundtrack. Soundtrack one was okay, good. Then I was taking it out. Thinking, check. It was loud. I mean, I can hear it very clear. Check it. So I put it back again. Track two. Track two, okay. 10 seconds. Okay. As I was about to take, suddenly, track two onwards, nothing, no sound. I told him, put it track 3, no sound. Track 4, no sound. Track all, no sound. Uncle, what is this? Sir, for the last 30, 40 years, this has never happened in Puttaparthi. You know that? So I said, I don't know. So do you have other CDs? I had another 10 more CDs. So six more CDs. Mm-hmm. So we put all the 6 CDs. All 6 CDs, there was no sound. And that particular, after track 2. But we tested in our own, when we were rehearsing, we had used the same CD. I said, how can this be possible? I don't know, sir. Sir, Swami is going to come any time now. Oh, this is Chinese New Year and everything has to be perfect and it must be good.
Oh,
so the tension was. finally, I had no other choice. We tried everything that we knew. Everything was there. I prayed, Swami, this is you. This is your play. You are the production. You are the producer. You are the director. We want everything to be happy. Everything to be good. I don't know. I'm not involved in anything. Swami, please, Swami, help. I pray. Really, I was really praying, you know, like that. Suddenly, Swami's one student comes, dressed in white, just comes like that. Yes, brother, anything wrong? He said, no, brother, this thing not working. So, I don't know what he did. He pulled here, pulled there, pulled there, what all he did. Suddenly, he put the thing. It started working. The whole thing was, the CD was working. How can that possibly happen? The CD was working.
Inconceivable.
Right? Not possible. So it was working. When it's working, started the Swami coming like, it's like Alfred Hitchcock movie, I'm telling you. It was like a thriller. So I finished that. I cut across and crossed across and went to the side at the back there. The play started and everything went very well. All went well. Then I was very happy. I was looking for that student. So he was there. I went to him, Brother Sai Ramba. Thank you so much for helping. But actually, what was wrong? What do you mean? What did you do? Can I tell you something? Whatever wires that were there, I pulled out. Whatever wires that were there, I put in. I also don't know what I did. I thought it was a sound. You mean you didn't know what you... I don't know, brother. I just tried whatever that I could do. So it suddenly worked. Swami was literally telling, yes, you are not the doer. I am the doer. This was the final... Before, this was the final play message. After that, Swami dropped his physical form. But this was the message. I am always the doer, not you.
I think he wanted to give that like...
One.
Very solid.
Yeah, solid, yeah. So I'm very aware. We do a lot of things, good things, great, but I'm totally wrong. This is you. This is you. This is you. We don't want any credit. This is you. This is you. I'm not...
In fact, many of you get scared, you know, because the moment that I comes, you things will not work.
Everything will be taken away. So why should you? Because you're almost reaching... So the point what we are saying is that become constantly conscious. Do the best and then stand apart. That is why it is nice to do big things. You know, when you start to do big things, your ego will come inside to lay a claim.
Yeah.
Hey, without me, you know, it couldn't have happened. You know, the ego will come. That's the time when you have to check it.
Yes.
Because you must catch the devil. Face the devil, fight the hand, finish the game. So, when the devil comes to claim, this is not you, stand back. So, the ego will, there'll be a little bit of a fight. So, the more you kill this, that's where you can.
Yes.
But when you do something small, what is there to be proud of? You know, somebody went to in the master and said, oh, master, please teach me how to be humble. Master replied, what is there to be proud of? Nothing in this world is yours. What is that? You can't be. So the issue of the world, the whole point of the story is that do the best, do the most grand and stay back. Don't make any claim
and
to
always work. Know to leave the rest to him right from the beginning.
Right from the beginning. And he's the doer. He's the doer. He's the, we must have constant consciousness that he is the doer.
Yeah.
Then there will be no problem at the zonal level, no problem at the regional level, no problem national level. Nothing will be a problem.
Because it's only his will that
will happen. And you must be continuously connected to that will.
Right.
And you must just be a spectator, like a witness watching in a movie.
Yes.
Then it is spirituality in action.
Life will become a thriller.
That's a good way to say it.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Dr. Professor Suresh Govind. I think it was an inspirational festival having this conversation with you.
Right.
And I hope listeners out there not only enjoyed it, but also took something out of it.
Yes,
so that, you know, in some ways, we make our life a series of celebrations.
That's it.
We don't want to be a Sai devotee. Without smile is not a Sai devotee.
Yeah.
A Sai devotee who cannot make another person smile is not a Sai devotee. Let us be a Sai devotee who smiles just as blissfully as Swami does.
That's it.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Bishu. Thank you so much. Sai Ram.